Should you have your Bible handy, will you get it and turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, please? I wish to read, beginning at verse 15. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. The days in which we are living, beloved friend, are characterized by having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The Lord Jesus has this in mind as he brings before us in this passage the two classes of men. We have men represented by trees. There are the good trees, and there are the corrupt trees. And I would like to ask, what kind of a tree are you? A good tree brings forth good fruit. That is fruit that glorifies God, pleases Him. It's the product of a divine nature that has been implanted in the soul of one who has trusted Christ. It is really the life of Christ lived out in the believer. A corrupt tree, however, is a picture of a man who may be religious, nevertheless brings forth no fruit for God. What kind of a tree, I ask, are you? Now, by nature, all of us are corrupt trees. We come into the world conceived in sin, shapen in iniquity. And because of our generation from Adam, every single one of us is born with a sinful nature, a nature that is capable of doing every evil thing. We have a heart that is deceitful above all things and incurably wicked. Now, this is the reason why men lie and steal and swear and have evil thoughts and commit fornication and adultery. The corrupt tree can bring forth nothing but corrupt fruit. Now, it is because of this that the Lord Jesus himself declared to Nicodemus, that ruler of the Jews, ye must be born again, or born anew. That is, we must have a different kind of birth. Not a new physical birth, but a new spiritual birth. It might be rendered, ye must be born from above. We must be born of the Spirit. And the Lord Jesus emphasized the necessity of this divine injunction in these words, except a man be born again, he cannot see nor enter the kingdom of God. Now, it is not enough, dear friend, that you reform your life and become religious. You know, the Lord, when he was here, speaks of a tree that he saw, that he came looking for fruit upon it, but there was nothing but leaves, nothing but leaves. Leaves picture for us profession. And here in connection with the fig tree, though primarily the interpretation is to Israel as a nation, which brought forth no fruit for God, yet the application is to every individual in Christendom. You may be a baptized person. You may be a so-called church member, or even a Sunday school teacher, perhaps a preacher. Has it ever occurred to you that you can be all this and still be simply a tree with leaves only? Yes, that is decidedly true. You have never been born again. And without being born again, no matter what you have done or what you are, you lack eternal life. You lack that which is capable alone of producing fruit for God. Hence, ye must be born again. You know what happened? The Lord Jesus said about that tree that was only bringing forth leaves, cut it down. And in this passage, in Matthew 7, the Lord goes on to say, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Maybe you do call upon him publicly, along with others. But you know, have you manifested that you have divine life, that you belong to the Lord, that you have accepted him in your heart? The Lord says, "He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven is the one that shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." When one is born again, he has a divine nature that wishes to please the Father, to do the will of the Father. It's divinely implanted. Furthermore, you'll notice in the next verse, Jesus said, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" There's a preacher. "And in thy name have cast out demons." There's a miracle worker. "In thy name done many wonderful works." That which has drawn much attention to spectacular deeds. What does this mean? The Lord says, "Nevertheless, in that day I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." This emphasizes very definitely the possibility of a person being religious, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Religion is one thing. Christianity is another. Being a professor of Christianity is one thing. Being a possessor of Christ is another. If you possess Christ as a personal Savior, the Lord knows you, just as he says in John 10, "I know my sheep, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." A sheep of Christ is one who's realized that he's lost, and he's called upon the Lord, and the Lord, as the good shepherd, has saved him, has saved the sheep by his own death. "For the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." The Lord Jesus, as a good shepherd, came to die that sinful, wayward sheep, such as we all are, might be saved. There are those that own that they are righteous. There's no salvation for them. But the lost sheep is one who realizes that because of sin he is ruined and he's hopeless. He has no strength. Ah, he needs life. He's a tree. He may have leaves, but he needs fruit for God. A lost sheep is one who allows the shepherd to find him. Such he knows. But the mere professor, Jesus says, "I never knew you." Doesn't say that I knew you once and know you no longer. No, I never knew you. The Lord is speaking here of a professor who, though he has prophesied and done wonderful works, yet he has no vital link with God. He's never been born again. Let me ask my listener, what kind of a tree are you? The corrupt tree, corrupt to the core because of its natural standing and relationship. The only way that we can be a good tree is to allow the Spirit of God to convict us of our need and then to accept the life eternal which Jesus offers in himself. I'm reminded of a preacher of the gospel well known who at the age of 3 memorized scripture. At the age of 8 he read the Bible through once, reading a chapter every day, 3 chapters every day of the week, and then 5 on the Lord's Day. At the age of 11 he conducted a Sunday school class. And he was the preacher. They had an attendance of 60 each week. Many made much of him and his teaching and his preaching. But at the age of 14, there came to visit a man who had often been in their home previously, a man that he liked to shy away from because this man, an evangelist, a servant of God, would always ask this young man, "Lad," he said, "have you been born again yet?" He said, well, I teach a Sunday school class. I read the Bible, and I've memorized Bible verses. But he would come back, lad, have you been born again? This man came upon the scene after many years, the age of 14. The same question was put to him. Lad, have you been born again? Thank God that this led to the conversion of this lad. He faced the issue. He realized his guilt from Romans 3, as the preacher pointed it out to him, that every mouth must be stopped, the whole world guilty before God, and that before one could rightly preach, he had to have his mouth stopped. He owned his guilt, and after a deep exercise of about 6 months, I'm happy to say that the lad of 14 was finally converted to God by reading John 3 and 16, and he personally accepted Christ as his Savior, and he became born again, born anew. His life from then on was one which produced fruit for God. He was a servant of the Lord, whom the Lord used. This incident, this illustration of this lad could be multiplied, no doubt, thousands of times, and I trust today that it might be multiplied in your life. What kind of a tree are you? The verse that caused the lad to be deeply exercised about his own personal need is found in Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 23, a verse that he had memorized. Turn you at my reproof, says wisdom. Wisdom personified here is Christ. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Christ desires that you should turn to him. You need to be reproved first. Regardless of what you think you are, what you have done, you must accept God's verdict against you that you are a sinner and in danger of eternal judgment. In fact, the wrath of God abides upon you even now, unless you've been saved. But he wishes you to realize your guilt. And then he says, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. And in this we see the two divine agencies used by God to bring to pass the wonderful miracle of new birth, that which will make you a good tree to bring forth good fruit. The Spirit of God, the divine Spirit of God, would convict you of your need and would take the words of God, and bring blessing to your soul if you will hear and believe. Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are truth. God wants to reach your heart. He uses his divine spirit to convict you and to open your heart and then to take the words of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Will you be one of those whosoevers today? The word is directed to you. Turn you. Receive his word. Hear him, and thou shalt be blessed and born again. But notice the next verses in Proverbs 1, the word of warning. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Beloved listener, you have to do with a God of holiness and righteousness as well as a God of grace and love. He will not always call. He will not always linger in grace and be patient with your refusal. Oh, but he still stands now with stretched out arms. And he would keep you from eternal punishment and embrace you in his arms and receive you if you will only come to him. Do not set aside his counsel. Oh, do not refuse his call. Because notice, it goes on to say, if you do, God says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. How suddenly one can be cut off without a moment's notice. You trifle with the grace of God, and you are trifling with the salvation of your soul. God is not always going to be gracious and long-suffering. His time is now. You have to do with a God who will laugh if you refuse His love, His grace, His beloved Son, who died for you and was raised again for your salvation. There's coming a time, if you do not come to the Lord now in the day of grace, you will call upon me, he says, but I will not answer. The Lord Jesus speaks of this when he says, after his return, men shall come and knock on the door and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Depart from me, I never knew you. To be banished from his presence into the lake of fire. To be cut down as a corrupt tree. To be hewn down, cast into the fire. That's the picture. What kind of a tree are you? I trust that you are like the tree that we read of in Psalm 1, a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. A tree that the Father plants. The moment you accept Christ as your Savior, you're planted, as it were, in the courts of God. You become a child in the family of God. You receive a divine nature and a life that brings forth fruit for God. This will be yours if you will choose Him. Accept Him. In Proverbs, we close with this word, whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Now that's a promise that you can depend upon. God wants to make good to you today. Will you not hearken to Him? He wishes you to be convinced that you are either a good tree or a corrupt tree. He wishes you to be a good tree by acknowledging your sin and accepting Christ as your life and thus produce fruit for God. To be thereby planted by the rivers of water, so to speak. The divine nature you have, and the power of the Spirit of God that produces fruit, the life of Christ, that which will delight the Father, this only will please Him. You will dwell safely, and you'll be quiet from fear of evil. May God make you today, then, a good tree through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and no longer be a mere professor of Christianity, but a possessor of Christ.